Foster, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us for the broadcast today. I hope you enjoyed a wonderful weekend there, a long weekend for many people who also had Monday off yesterday as well. We don't broadcast on Monday and the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast, so we were off either way. This is our first time back in the studio then, starting today, and then we'll be back again, Lord willing, on Wednesday and Thursday as well. So we got a great week of programming lined up for you. I won't go into that, who's lined up as we go through the broadcast yet today, because we have a number of folks on the program today, and I want to get to these guests as soon as possible, because we're going to be talking about a very, very important subject. We're going to be talking about the subject of adoption, and specifically, we're talking about an adoption conference that is going to be taking place next month. That adoption conference that we're talking about is the 2013 National Conference for Together for Adoption. It's going to be taking place October 4th and 5th, and that's in Louisville, Kentucky. It's hosted by the Southern Seminary in partnership with Orphan Care Alliance of Louisville. And so this is coming up very quickly, and if you're interested in the subject of adoption, I want to make sure that you have a good idea of what is going to take place, of all that's going to take place there at this conference. So we're going to do that. We're going to give you a little taste of it today on the broadcast. Got a number of folks lined up for the broadcast today. Let me tell you who's coming up, and then we'll get right to it. Up first is Jason Kovacs is going to be up with us. He's a co-founder of Together for Adoption. He's also the director of ministry development for the ABBA Fund. And then we'll be speaking with Dr. Sharon Ford, and she is with Permanency Services Unit for the Colorado State Department of Human Services. And then we'll be speaking with Andy Lehman. He's the vice president of LifeSong for Orphans. And then up last but certainly not least is Johnny Carr. Johnny is with Orphan Justice Ministries. He's been with me before on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. He's now a conference speaker and the author of the book Orphan Care. And so there's where we're going in the broadcast today. And so many folks on the program, we better get started. Up first is Jason Kovacs. Jason, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Great to be with you, Kevin.
Well, Jason, why don't you start by telling us a little bit, since you're a co-founder, along with Dan Kruver, of Together for Adoption. Tell us a little bit about what's going on with T4A, and tell us some general things about this conference in particular.
Yeah, lots of exciting things. I was just thinking about how, I think it was 6 years ago, Dan and I had our first lunch meeting where we met each other, and it was in that time that really got birthed in our hearts a vision for Together for Adoption. And from that day on, we really feel like it's been God's ministry, and we've just had a front row seat watching God work, doing things that we never thought we'd be doing or getting to see done, just in the church, as God, you know, wakens the church for His heart, for the orphan, adoption, foster care. But the other part too, that we've just seen, not only the church being awakened to God's heart for the orphan, but that being driven by a robust theology and understanding of our adoption in Christ, and And beyond that, just God's plan of adoption that spans redemptive history. So we've had the joy of, for over the last 6 years, doing this conference where we get to bring in speakers from all over the country and literally all over the world to primarily speak in our main sessions on a theology of adoption, our adoption in Christ, and what adoption means for us in the world and all of history. So we get to bring in these guys that we want to hear and that we want everybody else to hear, because we really believe our understanding of adoption is central to our understanding of all of Christianity. And then we get to bring in breakout speakers from all around the country as well, some of the best and experts on adoption, foster care, orphan care. And that's what we're going to be doing again this year. We move it around each year, but this year, like you said, we're going to be in Louisville, Kentucky. This year, partnering with Southern Seminary, and which is very exciting. We did a pastors' conference with them last year, and they've just been incredible to work with. But we're going to have six general sessions with again some incredible speakers. We've got Mike Reeves from England coming in. He's the author of Delighting in the Trinity, and then we've got Dr. Sharon Ford, who folks are going to get to hear next. Vermon Pierre, he's from Phoenix, and then Scotty Smith from Franklin, Tennessee, and of course Dan Kruver as well. So we have those, and then we have over 60 workshops this year, spanning from theology to the practical nuts and bolts of how to adopt, how to get into foster care, all stuff that you need to know before, stuff that you need to know during the process, and then all the stuff that you need to know afterwards once you've adopted or you're fostering and you're thinking, what have I done, and you want to pull your hair out. All the support resources we're gonna be able to provide that through a lot of our sessions as well.
Is there any particular focus, Jason, on whether we're talking about domestic adoption or international adoption?
No, the focus of the conference really is first adoption as God's plan for redemptive history. So really kind of helping people see that adoption isn't just about domestic or international adoption. It is unique, even first, about children and adopting children. It goes even far beyond that. It's God's plan for all of human history from before time to eternity future. And so placing ourselves in that story of redemption and adoption is the main theme, and then we're going to break down and tease out the implications on that to cover both domestic adoption, international adoption, orphan care, preventing orphans, caring for orphans that will never be adopted. So we're really covering a wide, wide gamut. So it isn't just a conference for people interested in adopting children or fostering children. It's really a conference for anybody that loves Christ and is walking with Jesus and wants to live out God's heart in our world and understand God's passion for his people and his plan of redemption.
Jason, we really love the focus that you and Dan have put on this subject. I think that, to me, looking from the outside, knowing somewhat of this issue from various interviews that I've done and so forth. And by the way, my daughter is actually adopting a child here, and we'll be leaving just the end of this week. We'll be going overseas in order to do the paperwork and everything, and then going back shortly thereafter, Lord willing, to pick the little girl up. So it's something that's near and dear to my heart. But looking from the outside, one thing that T4A seems to really have underscored is the idea of the theological aspect of it, and really tied those two things closely together. And that's something that I appreciate particularly about the ministry. Jason, we'd love to talk with you more. Two things. We've got another Dr. Ford is lined up already on the phone line and ready to go. And also the phone connection is a little bit sketchy. So we're going to go ahead and let you go. Thank you for the update and for giving us, setting the tone for where we're going in our conversations today. I'm going to give all the web addresses where people can find out more. We're going to be showing it on the screen as well because we're live webcasting out on sermonaudio.com. I am scheduled to be there at the conference myself. I'll be doing some interviews from there and hopefully some live webcasting from the conference as well. So I look forward to seeing you there. The only thing I don't have in front of me, though, Jason, is your ABBA website. Would you give us that before we close out this portion?
It is www.abbafund.org.
Excellent. Well, Jason, thank you again so much for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Kevin.
Okay. Next up on the broadcast here, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Sharon Ford. Dr. Ford is, as I mentioned in the introduction, is with the Permanency Services Unit for the Colorado State Department of Human Services. She's a scheduled speaker at this year's conference, and again, the 2013 National Conference for Together for Adoption. It's going to be taking place in Louisville, Kentucky. You can go out onto their website. That website is www.togetherforadoption. Four is the word for, F-O-R. So it's togetherforadoption.org. And out there, you're going to be able to register for the conference. You'll be able to find out more about each one of the speakers that is going to be there. And so it'll be, all your resources can be found right there at that particular website. With that, Dr. Ford, welcome into the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Well, thank you for having me. It's my pleasure to be with you today.
Dr. Ford, would you take a moment to just explain to our listening audience your role and how long you've been involved in that role, and maybe a little bit about how then you came to be involved with the folks there from Together for Adoption?
Well, I have been with the state of Colorado Department of Human Services in the Division of Child Welfare for over 29 years, and as different roles over those years, but most recently as the manager for Permanency Services, and I've had the responsibility of overseeing our foster care and our adoption program statewide. Colorado is a state-supervised, county-administered system, meaning that while there's a state office, all of the direct casework practice in interacting with children and their families actually happens on our local level in our 64 county departments. And I also want to do an update. As of last Friday, I retired from the State Department of Human Services, and so now I am officially a retiree.
Should I say congratulations are in order?
Thank you. I appreciate that. They are in order.
Okay. Well, from reading your bio, which that they wrote on togetherforadoption.org under the speakers for the national conference coming up, it would take the rest of the broadcast to read about all that you've been involved in, just a tremendous legacy there about how involved you have been and concerned you have been about the welfare of children. And it sounds like from just reading that, I got tired. You actually lived it. I can imagine that it was pretty exhausting to be involved in that, and yet pretty rewarding, I would assume, as well.
You know, it has been a rewarding journey. Anytime you can help touch a life of a child by working with their family, either their family of origin or the family that's temporarily caring for them through foster care, and when we can't get children back home to their bio family safely, interacting with the families who will be their forever families through adoption, it's a powerful work. It is draining, but boy, when you touch the life of a child, you can make a difference. And so I've just been pleased and honored to be able to have done that over the years.
Dr. Ford, are you hopeful by what you see taking place currently in the adoption movement that we see sweeping the country?
You know, I'm hopeful because, you know, I look at the number of children across the nation and across the world who have struggled to really make a difference in the lives of families. And I'm hopeful that people are learning more and more every day about what the plight of children are, not just children internationally, you know, through orphanages, children who are homeless, through, you know, catastrophes that happen, but the children here, even on our own soil, who need families temporarily or forever families through adoption, and seeing the movement that raises the clarion call, that engages the church to be the church. When you have awareness, when you have information that helps you know about the need, we can't turn a blind eye. We can't turn a deaf ear to those situations. And that's what's beginning to happen. That's what I see, the waves of movement of people going, I didn't know. Oh, my gosh, I didn't understand what was going on. And we don't see orphanages here in the United States. But, oh, you mean that thing called foster care, that's temporary? That's a child living temporarily, like in an orphanage, but in someone's home or in a residential facility? I didn't understand. And so as you bring awareness, bring understanding about the need, people begin to say, well, gosh, I need to do something. Mm-hmm. What part can I play?
That process has been quite involved. Are you seeing some improvement in the process of people, like you say, they come to the understanding that what the need is and that they feel that they want to do something, but the process has gotten in the way very often. Is there some improvement and some hope in that aspect as well?
You know, I have to chuckle at that because, you know, government is a bureaucracy, and we're all about paper. Or we've all, I'm talking as though I'm still there.
Yeah.
And we have been, you know, about dot this I and cross this T, and we do lean processes, try to slim down the paperwork and slim down the time frame to get through our processes. But all of those steps really do make a difference. We need to make sure that the people that we're engaging with really have a heart for the children and for the families, that their motivation is in the right place. And so doing a lot of that paperwork, doing a lot of that engagement work really is important.
Yes.
Could we make it more lean? Of course. And we're looking at doing that. And as we engage with our community partners help to say, well, do we have to have 10 steps? Can we cut it down to 7 steps? And we look at doing that all the time, and we appreciate people helping to show us, you know, ways to streamline our work.
Excellent. We have about maybe about 5 minutes left or so, but I wanted to get you, if we could, I don't want to put you on the spot on this, but your general session talk that you'll be doing at Together for Adoption conference is going to be about stories of the fatherless. And I was hoping that maybe one story in particular, or one that you could share with us, that you could just tell us a little bit about from a personal aspect, the life of a child and what difference this really makes. Are you able to do that on the closing 5 minutes or so here of our interview?
I certainly can.
That'd be wonderful. Please do.
You know, I'm aware of a young woman who is emancipating from the foster care system. Emancipation means that we weren't able to find a forever family for her. And so here she is, 18, and she is going to college. That's the good news. But you know who's taking her to her, who took her to her college orientation? Her caseworker. Not her mom, not her dad, not even an aunt or an uncle or her grandparent, because her parental rights have been severed. And so the foster care system raised her since age 11. She was the victim of abuse and neglect by her bio family. And although the system tried to engage her relatives, we weren't able to do that successfully. And so we have raised her in not only foster homes, but group homes. And for a time, she even had a residential stay.
Hmm.
And along that process, we weren't able to identify a caring adult who would be her permanent connections, someone that she could call on that would be there for her as she, you know, navigates being a young adult, growing into adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
But her caseworker recently took her to lunch. And this is just last week, and was talking to her and was helping her to know, you know, you're doing right by saving your money, and it's okay that you're living in the dorm, and these are the things you need to make sure that you do, and you know, your financial aid package is, you know, you've got to make this money stretch. And her caseworker was walking her through all of those steps because there was no one else to do that with and for her.
Hmm.
And so it saddens my heart that there's not other caring adults around this young woman, but she does have the connection of her caseworker. Yes, she has Medicaid till she's age 21, as long as she stays here in Colorado. Yes, she can contact a former caseworker and even the group home parent where she emancipated from that group home. But where are the other caring adults?
Hmm.
What about the people she sat in class with? None of their parents ever connected with her in a way that allowed them to be, you know, gosh, I could call up Miss Susie, and Miss Susie would tell me how to wash my clothes so that, you know, I got a new outfit, and I want to make sure I don't shrink it, or I want to make sure I don't dye it, or can I iron this blouse? You know, all those kinds of things that your family, caring people in your life, would help you walk through.
Mm-hmm.
She'll have her caseworker for a little bit of time.
Mm.
And so I can tell you story after story about young people like that. And it makes me wonder, you know, will we be able, while her caseworker is still connected to her, help her identify other connections in the community so that as she continues to go through school, and hopefully she'll go through, she graduated the valedictorian in her class.
Mm. Wow.
What a celebration for her.
Yes.
Yes, she's going on to college. That's another celebration.
Mm-hmm.
But where's the celebration of family
mm-hmm.
for her?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that to celebrate with her.
Right. Well, boy, that's certainly a story, a personal story there that really causes us to see, you know, that these are not just numbers that we're talking about or cases. These are people that are here, real people. And what would be your final word then to our listening audience before we go to break here in just about a minute? What would you say to them based on what you just told us with this young lady? What should they do?
I think that every person, whatever stage of life they're in, has an opportunity to give and touch the life of another person. And all you have to do is step back and say, Father, how can I make a difference?
Mm.
Everyone's not called to foster care. Everyone's not called to adoption, and that's okay. But we all are called to touch individuals' lives in different ways, and so ask God, how can I make a difference?
Mm. Well said. Dr. Ford, thank you so much. Looking forward to your session there at Together for Adoption. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule, which is now a retired schedule. But
yeah.
Thank you for the work that you did for all of those years, investing your time and your energy in the life of those children and families. We are so grateful for folks like you that are doing that type of work. Thank you very much for all of that effort.
Thank you. I appreciate being on your radio program today.
Okay. That was Dr. Sharon Ford, and we're talking with her about her talk that she'll be giving at Together for Adoption. That's the upcoming 2013 conference that's going to be in Louisville, Kentucky. You can go out to their website in order to find out all the information. Their website is www.togetherforadoption.org. That's Together for Adoption, Together for Adoption, all one word, .org. Right in the middle of the screen there, you'll find the conference listed. Click on that, and then you'll see all of the speakers and so forth that are going to be there at the conference. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be joined by Andy Lehman, Vice President of Lifesong for Orphans, when we come back. You won't want to miss it. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
How do we confront the anti-Christian bias of the American news media? On the next Janet Mefford Show, I'll talk about it with Warren Cole Smith, author of Prodigal Press. Plus, Jewish groups and experts report that the hatred of Jews and anti-Semitic attacks are escalating worldwide. Alex Newman, president of Liberty Sentinel Media, will join me to talk about it. That and a whole lot more next time on the Janet Mefford Show.
This afternoon from 3 to 5 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9.
Hi, I'm Sarah Lampman from Ligonier Connect. I hope you are enjoying some of the great teaching here on RefNet. If you'd like to increase your faith by studying the scriptures and interacting with other believers who desire the same, Ligonier Connect may be for you. It's an online learning community that you can experience whenever is convenient for you. You can access the courses on your computer, tablet, or smartphone. Watch lectures from trusted teachers like R.C. Sproul, Sinclair Ferguson, Robert Godfrey, Stephen Lawson, R.C. Sproul Jr., Stephen Nichols, and others. Engage in discussions with your fellow classmates by sharing your thoughts, answering their questions, or asking your own. There is so much opportunity to grow in your knowledge of God's Word. In fact, there are more than 45 courses to choose from. So give it a try. Join the over 12,000 other Christians who are learning together. It's only $9 a month, and you can cancel anytime. Go to ligonier.org/connect to learn more.
Case Jenkins, owner of C.J. Mulch & Moore, has been in the landscaping business for almost 20 years. C.J. Mulch & Moore serves landscapers, businesses, and residents of the upstate by offering the following landscape products: mulch, pine needles, wood chips, topsoil, compost, sand, and gravel. They're located close to I-85 at 315 Old Boiling Springs Road. More information is available at 505-1499 or online at cjmulchandmoore.com.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We're doing a special broadcast today talking about the subject of adoption. And even more specifically, we've been talking about an upcoming conference that is going to be taking place in Louisville, Kentucky in October 4th and 5th in Louisville, Kentucky. This is the 2013 National Conference for Together for Adoption, the story that changes everything for us and for the fatherless is the theme of the conference. We've already spoken to a couple of folks on the line in order to get a little gist of what is going to take place at the conference and who's going to be there. We spoke with Jason Kovacs first up. He's a co-founder of Together for Adoption and also the director of ministry development for the ABBA Fund. And then right after Jason gave us a little bit of a synopsis of what was going to take place in a general way at the conference, we then spoke for about 15 minutes with Dr. Sharon Ford, very interesting discussion with her about children, especially children in the foster care system, as well as in the adoption, and specifically telling us the story of the of one child in particular and the need that is there. Up next with us is Andy Lehman. Andy is the vice president of LifeSong for Orphans. Their website is www.lifesongfororphans.org. That's LifeSongForOrphans, all one word, .org. You can go out there to find out more about Andy and about LifeSong. Andy, if you would take a moment here to tell us just briefly a little bit about what LifeSong for Orphans is all about, and then more specifically about your role in this year's conference. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you've been talking to some dear friends with Jason and Sharon, so that is fantastic. LifeSong's mission is let's help bring joy and purpose to orphans, and let's go deep in their lives and deep by helping take care of basic needs of orphans in eight different countries, whether it's schools or transition homes or discipleship or job skill training, that sort of thing. And also helping churches in America and individuals in America to act, to do one thing, to engage. And primarily we've helped churches start up church adoption funds to practically come alongside their body, their community, to say, yes, this is going to be a DNA of our church, of our community, and we're going to help these families that feel a sense, a calling to consider adoption, but they have a financial barrier, then let's, the church, let's come alongside to help remove that barrier. And so we have innovative matching grants and interest-free loans and tools like church adoption funds to help a church do that. And LifeSong does administrative work to, and not charge the church anything, just to make it administratively simple. There's no fee. We just want to create solutions to help children come to know Christ in families. Mm. And then also help those same churches connect with doing some sort of innovative orphan care across the globe as well, and be global and local at the same time.
Mm, well, that's great. We talked a little bit about that there is this movement taking place specifically within the church, that the awareness of adoption is taking place. The second stage is people finding out, okay, well, what should I do then? What is my role in this? And I've said a few times that no one person can do everything, but everybody can do something. In some way, they can be involved. And so it's interesting to hear you say that there now is this other piece here where churches corporately can set up funds where they can then say, you know, our churches, we want to be involved in this. We want to help families to consider this and think about this. And we can, one of the things that we can do is funds can be set aside so that when families decide this way, that they're going to specifically adopt or get involved in adoption, that there's some way there to help them out. Is that a fair assessment of what what you've just relayed to us?
Exactly. That's exactly right. There's a church in Irving Bible Church in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and they launched their church adoption fund with just about $10,000 to help fund families. And, you know, $10,000 isn't a lot when you think about some adoption costs. But
right.
They were so – we worked together with them, LifeSong and Irving Bible Church, their Tapestry Fund, and through that $10,000 we managed that so well in terms of how we gave out matching grants and interest-free loans, that we helped 14 children come into families, and we leveraged that well so that that was actually about $115,000 of help for adoptive families. And so you go, wow, that's what the church can do just with a few tools. It's pretty simple.
Hmm.
And that's a practical way of helping people get started and say, you know what, this is important as a church. We're going to come alongside these folks. But not stop there. That's just the beginning. And that's what we feel like is that we don't want this to be about what LifeSong does, about let's help churches do ministry locally and have an intentional have that be an intentional part of their DNA.
Hmm. It reminds me of the scripture that speaks about where the Lord Jesus Christ asks his disciples, you know, that the multitude is there, and then he says to them, you know, give them something to eat. And they look at their own resources, and they very quickly come to the end of themselves, and somebody pipes up and says, you know, hey, all we've got a little boy's lunch here, you know, a couple loaves and some fish. And
That's right. They
take it and they lay that at the feet of Christ, and he blesses it and breaks it and makes it into something much more, so much so that everyone, in their solution, everyone would have but a morsel to eat. In his solution, bringing it to him and laying it at his feet, everyone then eats till they're full, and then they even take up 12 baskets of fragments afterwards, one for each one of the disciples that was involved in it as well. And so I was thinking of that, where you're taking this meager amount, meager when we're thinking about, you know, the costs that are involved here, and
right.
Yet you were able to have 14 different children be placed in homes. I mean, it's just astounding.
Right. It really is. And to even extrapolate that and say, we know that God's heart is for children to be in families, and James 1:27, the pure religion is not just in the form of international adoption, but how do we help, for example, how do we help Ukrainian Christians to adopt and foster Ukrainian citizens? How do we help encourage the indigenous church to live out James 1:27. This is not just for the American church. And so one of the ways in Ukraine, along that same line, we want to mobilize people here and there. And so for an indigenous adoption in Ukraine doesn't actually cost very much money at all. It's like, you know, $500 for an adoption to happen in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. But the challenge is for many of the people, the way that they are living, that $500 is a real barrier. So we've seen a lot of churches in the U.S. say, we want to help Ukrainians adopt and foster. So out of our church adoption fund, we're going to help take care of that, and we're not just going to use it for us locally. We're going to go globally. And that's, you know, we think about, wow, over the last few years, there have been 140 children that have been adopted into Ukrainian Christian families or foster families. I can think of an orphanage I've been in Ukraine called Azum. There's about 140 children in that facility. Just imagine 140 children that were in an orphanage now in families, and essentially emptying that orphanage. And that is God's design, a family, and we're redeeming and restoring God's design. And that's a beautiful thing that the church, U.S. and indigenous, can do together.
Andy, I pastor a very small church, under 100 people. Can a church like my church, the church that I pastor, is this something that we could get involved in as well?
Absolutely, yeah, you bet. And the church adoption funds, I mean, we've got a church that is a 50-member church that said, this is so important, we're going to do it, up to, you know, 25,000-plus churches. So the size does not matter. The action is really what matters.
Andy, what's your role going to be? We're down to the last couple minutes of the interview, but what is your role going to be at the upcoming Together for Adoption conference?
Yeah, our team is going to be helping churches, especially pastors that are there, to say, how can you set up, launch, create financial solutions for your adoptive families within your congregation? That is one thing. Second, for individuals, how can you as individuals get involved? And we're going to encourage them to consider helping create sustainable business, micro-lending for orphans, caregivers of orphans, in the countries that we do work in. So, for example, in Zambia, we have a school of 300 children. And in that school, these 300 children, their caregivers or aunts or uncles or somebody that's taking care of them back in the village. A couple of years ago, only about 20% of them had a job. So we've created, through strawberry commercial farming and micro-lending, instead of 20% of those caregivers of our kids having a job, now 92% of them have a job. That's because people in the U.S. have said, I want to help create a microloan to a caregiver for $50. We can help create a loan to buy and sell dried fish, or $150 to raise chickens. And what happens then is men, instead of being drunk at the local shack, they have purpose, and people have poured into them, and they want to provide, protect, step up to be the man that God's called them to be. And that's incredibly transformative. You think, wow, that's just a few loaves of bread for us, right? But that's huge for them. And so we're going to talk about ways that people can become an orphan advocate in every season of life, whether they are 8 years old or whether they are 80 years old, and whether they have no money, but they have time or skills. We're going to talk about how do you become an orphan advocate with that skill or gifting that you have. We're going to try to paint the pictures of opportunities and outlets for that energy and skill set.
Andy, wow, it sounds very interesting. I hope that our listening audience is seeing here then that for pastors, for individuals, for church leaders to come to this conference, you're going to get a wealth of information about how you can be involved in adoption. You say, well, we're not planning on adopting as a family. Well, still the church, we've got to be involved in this in some way, shape, or form. Here's a way for you to go to one conference and at that one conference to speak to somebody like Andy, to see how there's all sorts of roles that we can play. I love this development model that he was talking about. It's not just a handout, it's a hand up. It's a way of planting some seed money there that they then take and use in order to develop their own livelihood, and I think that that is just an excellent model that you were speaking about. Andy Lehman, Vice President of Lifesong for Orphans. Their website, again, is www.lifesongfororphans.org. You can go out there in order to find out more about their ministry. He'll be there at the upcoming conference. I'll tell you more about that in just a second. But, Andy, thank you so much for visiting with us today and for bringing that information to light for us. We really appreciate it.
It's an honor. Thank you for being a voice for this.
Okay, Andy. We'll probably see you there, Lord willing. I'm scheduled to be there myself, so praise the Lord. Maybe we'll see you there as well.
Absolutely.
Okay. That was Andy Lehman, as I mentioned, and we're talking about adoption, and specifically, we're talking about the upcoming Together for Adoption conference that is going to be taking place in Louisville, Kentucky, in 2013, just a month away. It's going to be held from October 4th and 5th in Louisville, Kentucky. You can go out to togetherforadoption.org in order to register, find out more about the speakers, find out more about lodging. I know that there's expense involved when you go to these conferences, but what I'm trying to convey to you today is that there is a tremendous amount of worthy resources that are going to be there for you, not only for folks that are specifically looking to adopt, but for churches that are looking for what can we do to get involved in this important issue. We've spoken to a number of folks already. We've spoken to Jason Kovacs. We've spoken to Dr. Sharon Ford. We've spoken to Andy Lehman. And up next, last but certainly not least, is Johnny Carr joins us now by phone. I've had Johnny on the broadcast before to speak about his book, Orphan Justice. Johnny is with the Orphan Justice Ministries. He's now a conference speaker as well as the author of that book. He'll be there as the MC of Together for Adoption, and he'll be speaking at that event as well. Johnny, it's a pleasure to have you back on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Oh, thank you, Kevin. It's my pleasure to be with you.
Hey, Johnny, I need to ask you right here in the beginning of the program, how has that book been received? I think I spoke with you as it was just being released, and I'll tell our listening audience, if you want to listen to that conversation, it's available out on www.sermonaudio.com. Just type in Johnny Carr in the search engine there, and it'll take you to that interview. But, Johnny, how has things proceeded since that time?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, surprisingly, we have had some very, very positive feedback. As you know, Kevin, I kind of dove into some pretty controversial subjects with poverty and HIV and AIDS and racism and abortion. You know, coming back from my very, very conservative evangelical upbringing, and still am, consider myself a conservative evangelical, but these issues that we really have not done well with dealing with in the past, or simply ignored in some cases, or we've been wrong about. And so I was very concerned about how the book would be received. But I'll be honest with you, I've only received one really strong negative email. From someone. I've had a couple of other people that disagreed on some points, of course. We're all going to have that. But overall, it's just been an incredibly well-received. And, you know, I think for some people, especially like the abortion chapter, it helped them to connect some dots together. Maybe it wasn't new ideas, but to see them connected the way that we did. And then the orphanage chapter has probably been the one that's been the most talked about because it gave some reasons why we should think beyond just building an orphanage and how orphanages can sometimes be a great example of when helping hurts. And so I think that chapter has probably been maybe the most educational for some people. And then the others were again, just kind of connecting the dots together for them.
Well, Johnny, you come from a unique perspective, having been a pastor for some 14 years or so. full-time in the ministry, pastoral ministry, and then working with Bethany Christian Service. I know, I understand you're no longer with them, and now focusing on this issue specifically in conferences as well as a conference speaker. But coming from that perspective, was this a little bit of your journey as well, that maybe in the beginning of your ministry you didn't see the importance of this, and so basically you're telling your story?
Yeah, you know, Kevin, I had a moment the day that we stood in my first adopted son's orphanage, and it's one of those things where you really have to hear the explanation to understand it. But as I stood there and saw these babies who were dying of starvation, I had just walked past all these special needs children who were kind of locked into these desks with holes in the seat, pans underneath it, where they just literally sat all day long. I remember at that moment standing in that orphanage, and this was the thought that I had. Now, whether it was right or wrong, we can debate that, but this was the thought that I had. I said to myself, I've got so much emotion and all this stuff is racing through my head, and I thought, have I become a liberal? And when I came home and I really tried to unpack that, I thought, why was that the thought that ran through my mind? Huh. And I think for so many years, I was so just so bent towards our political movement of the evangelical conservative side that I was blinded by some of these issues that aren't political issues. They shouldn't have to be political issues, but they're biblical issues. And then compassion and to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to serve those with modern day leprosy, if you will. And so for me, it was just a time of really growing. And as you said, this really was, orphan justice really was our story of learning and growing and sharing just the things that God had taught us. I think that's an interesting perspective that you picked up on, because certainly it is very much and still is today at this idea that we are still growing and learning each and every day. And if you don't mind, I'd love to speak to my leaving Bethany Christian Services.
Yeah.
Actually, today is my first day not to be on a payroll on a kind of a regular work day.
Well, that's why we were calling, Johnny. We wanted to know how you're doing. No.
Yeah. Well, so far today, okay. I've been waking up in the middle of the night going, what in the world have I done? But first of all, I want people to know that my leaving Bethany had absolutely nothing to do with the integrity of the organization. I love Bethany, and as a matter of fact, will continue to speak on their behalf when asked to do so. And hopefully I'll get the opportunity to do that. But we really have entered a stage of life now, because I'm getting so many speaking requests from the book, that I can't do those speaking engagements and continue to do the job I needed to do Monday through Friday for Bethany and take care of my family. And so we have just decided to really take a huge step of faith here and see if God will continue to bring invitations, because that's really what I need to be doing. I need to be preaching on Sunday morning, specifically on this issue of special needs adoption, because that's really where God has called us to as a family. And so that's our goal, is to speak as many times as possible over the next months and years on this specific issue of special needs adoption and how the church and Christians need to be viewing that and really taking an active role.
Well, the preaching is working. My own daughter is leaving on next week, on Sunday morning, to head overseas. I can't give a lot of details about it yet, but she's bringing home a special needs girl from overseas, adopting her. She has two biological children, and she'll be bringing her back here to the States, Lord willing, in just a couple of weeks. So, praise the Lord.
Wow.
The message is going out, and people are hearing what you guys have done, so much work in bringing to the forefront. It's so funny that you talk about that being that you felt like a liberal. Let me just explain that just very quickly for our listening audience. What I think Johnny means by that is, unfortunately, caring for people physically or being involved in what's taking place in people's lives has become to be associated with a social gospel. And what happened was that they've kind of hijacked that in the social gospel area. And unfortunately, people don't know that it's been taken over that way and thought of that way until all of a sudden you come face to face with it. But that's not a social gospel. That is the gospel. The social gospel aspect was that the gospel itself was then being left off and only the physical part was taking place without the spiritual mention of the gospel, the verbiage of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ being included in it as well. That's what's being reclaimed, and that's what Johnny and the folks there Together for Adoption, Dan Kruver and Jason and all the rest that we've had on here today, that's what they're involved. They're involved in bringing this back into light the way that it should be. Johnny, you got a big role here. You're going to be the MC at this event, but you're also going to be speaking. We've got just a couple of minutes left. Tell the listening audience, why should they be there? What is so important about this conference and what's going to be taking place there, not just in the speaking, but in all the vendors that are coming together, 60 breakout sessions? Why is it so important that people need to be here?
Yeah, well, I think because exactly what you were just talking about and how the social gospel got really hijacked before, and now as we're seeing kind of a reining in of that to say, wait a minute, it's not either or, it's both and. Mm-hmm. We need to, yes, be meeting physical needs, but also we have to share the gospel, and we have to understand the gospel and have a good theology. And that's why I love this conference. The speakers from Mike Reeves and Scotty Smith, and I mean, these guys are heavyweight theologically. They're going to be bringing to us some very important biblical perspectives that we need to understand so that we don't drift again in such a way that we are only meeting physical needs, or mm-hmm. we start making decisions that aren't based through gospel lenses. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I love this conference. I love the fact that Dan has stayed so true to making sure that theology was first and foremost when it comes to these, especially the main stage speakers. Now, you can go and get some really practical things in the breakout sessions. But, you know, if we allow this incredible positive movement that's taking place of orphan care and adoption to drift away from the gospel, then it will become another fad. It will become another bracelet, another, you know, T-shirt. Mm-hmm. And 5-10 years from now, it'll be the thing that we used to do. Mm-hmm. But if we keep it rooted in theology, we keep it rooted in the gospel, then that's how this will be a lasting thing where we will be truly become the DNA of many, many of our churches, and hopefully all of our churches.
Well said, Johnny. My prayer is that same thing, and God forbid that it does become a fad or anything like that. But I think you're absolutely right, as it's tied to the theology. I preach this in my church every week, you know, that we go from doctrine to deeds. And so what we believe then fuels our behavior. And so I'm seeing that in this movement, in this particular organization, Together for Adoption, and a number of you folks that are associated with it. Let me tell our listening audience, if you want to find out more about Johnny, and by the way, you can go out there and find out about his speaking schedule. He would be an excellent speaker to have at your church. You can also find out about the book that I referred to. You can go out to this one website in order to find out more about him, about the book, and about the speaking schedule, and so much more. That website is www.orphanjustice.com. That's orphanjustice.com. And you can go out there and look up Johnny Carr, and Johnny will be available there. You can see all the information associated with his ministry. Johnny, thank you so much. Thank you so much for writing that book. It meant a lot to us when we discussed it, and I'm so glad that it's being received well. Thank you so much for the work that you've been doing, and let us be the first to welcome you to your new endeavor here outside of Bethany now as a conference speaker. Look forward to seeing you there Together for Adoption.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kevin.
Okay, again, that was Johnny Carr, and we've been talking about Together for Adoption. The website to find out all about Together for Adoption, Dan Kruver's book is available out there. You can go out there. It's called Reclaiming Adoption. Excellent book. You can find out about that out on Together for Adoption. You can find out about their ministry in general. And more to the point today, you can find out about the upcoming conference that is taking place this October 4th and 5th in Louisville, Kentucky. It's www.togetherforadoption.org. Remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ said in all of these things, he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We'll see you next time right here on Knowing the Truth.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life and Liberty Radio, Christian Talk 660. WLFJ Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson on AM 660 and also on FM 92.9.